Good morning, Juanita.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Thanks for coming in. So the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan, what is it designed to do? People will know, even from primary school, bees pollinate plants. So the All-Ireland Pollinator Plan is designed to do what exactly?
Well, basically, our pollinating insects, so they're bees, butterflies, hoverflies, lots of fly species actually, are in trouble. So since the 80s, our landscapes have changed hugely through intensive agriculture and just
motorways,
a tendency,
that kind of thing.
Yeah, and a tendency to tidy up. We've all, you know, we all have these ride-on mowers and we're tidying up the countryside and there's a lot more use of pesticides.
When you
chemicals.
Say tidying up now, you don't mean cleaning litter, you mean
making
things look
neat,
pretty.
Which look good to us, like really tightly mown lawns look really good to us. But the culmination of all those problems, it's not one sector causing the problem, it's all of us actually, is that there's no food for bees in the countryside anymore.
Right.
And we have, everyone thinks of honeybees, but we actually have 99 different species. We have 98 different species of wild bees. So that's 21.
In Ireland?
Yeah, 21 right. bumblebee species, all with different lifestyles, and 77 solitary bee species. So they're the lesser known ones, but they're actually really, really important and good pollinators. But the bad news is that they're in decline. Over half have been in decline since the 80s, and one third are at risk of extinction. Two have gone extinct already.
In Ireland?
In Ireland.
A lot of people would probably know about this. You'd catch the odd article. You might read a bit about it now and again. And it's something that will have consequences down the line.
Yeah, and I mean, I suppose you do hear kind of scaremongering about, you know, humans will go next and things like that. It might not be that bad, that we still will have crops that are pollinated by wind, for instance, wheat and things like that. But if we lose our natural wild pollinators, we'll have a very reduced diet. Those fruits, apples, strawberries, tomatoes, things like that, that we rely on to give us nutrients that we can't get from other places. We rely on those. We rely on a free pollination service from insects like that.
What is the, how, a lot of people will probably know it, me included, I'm speaking about me, oh, bees pollinate flowers, but you mentioned crops there and you mentioned berries and all that.
Yeah,
is
so
it really that extensive?
It's
that,
absolutely. Without them, we won't have rapeseed and...
What about soft fruits and vegetables? I have
absolutely.
An image in my mind of big, huge greenhouses on the outskirts of Dublin where they're intensively produced.
Yeah, and so with those, sometimes they import bumblebees. So
really?
It does rely on insect pollination, absolutely. And I suppose why bees are so important to pollination is because they rely solely on pollen. They provide, like they feed their young on pollen only. So that makes them really specialised and good pollinators. And so you have to remove pollen from one flower to another to actually create seed and create new plants.
Right. So we know why, so the bees are under threat. It's the way we use the way the land is farmed. Not just blaming farmers.
No,
the way
not
we,
at all.
The way we have the land shaped as people.
Yeah.
And we know what's causing them to disappear. What will the effects be?
I mean, there's also impacts on your health and well-being. I suppose the most important thing to say is pollination services are irreplaceable. You can't just go out and pollinate by hand. So if we lose that ability to have free pollination services in the future, it's irreplaceable. So you can put figures on it. You can say 57 million to the Irish economy each year is provided.
I saw that,
to growers.
Yeah. I mean, that's insane. That's,
yeah.
That's like...
But it's the fact that it's irreplaceable, and we should also preserve the ability to do that, that if we let all our species disappear, we can't just bring them back. So
I saw the white rhino, there was a story last week about the extinction. There's two females left.
Yeah, it's a sort of an evolutionary dead end, you know, when that happens. But I suppose the great thing about the pollinator plan is that everyone can get involved.
Okay, so
it's a shared plan of action, and I have to mention that what I think is amazing is that this came about by two amazing women, Dr. Jane Stout in Trinity and Dr. Una Fitzpatrick in the National Biodiversity Data Centre, where I work. And they just were tired of seeing losses. They're recording losses for years and years of these important insect species, and they decided to do something about it. So there was no project funding. They just got together, a 15-member steering group, and it's just been really embraced by Tidy Towns groups and OPW and parks around the country.
And it was them who devised the All-Ireland
Pollinator
Plan.
Absolutely, and it shows people power. You know, it shows that ability.
And we're one of only a couple of countries in the EU that are doing this.
Ireland's
so
actually
far.
Leading the way.
Is
That's
it?
The amazing thing. So the Netherlands have just brought out their own pollinator plan, and the UK are developing one. So it is amazing what we're doing in Ireland. And you know, the reason I wanted to come here today was to actually say that in your gardens you can do so much.
This brings us to the button pusher. People might get, this is where people might start texting in. So you mentioned at the start of the interview that we're tidying up the countryside, so we're making it look neat. And by that you mean, you know, you'd mow the verge or you would, you know, cut down things. Hogweed, for example, that comes out in May, a lot of people would feel that looks unsightly. In your own garden, the dandelion, a lot of people go, ah, the dandelions are here, I'm going to get rid of those flaming dandelions, and they regard them as a weed. And clover, you would be absolutely 100% convinced and urging people not to go near.
Absolutely.
Why?
We can't overestimate the importance of dandelions. It's actually amazing. They just, they're gold for bees. So things like, other things you see or plant at this time of year are dandelions and tulips. They don't produce basically any pollen or nectar.
Daffodils.
Daffodils. Right. Yeah. Sorry, what did I say?
Dandelions, yeah. Yeah. So daffodils and tulips don't, aren't
daffodils
actually that
and
useful.
Tulips, you might see a bee going to daffodil, but it's only if there's nothing else available. So compared to a dandelion, which for some reason we all hate, and I'm sure your listeners are shaken with rage now. But
well, some people refer to them as pissy beds.
I think that actually
that
gives
true?
Them a bad reputation. It's not true.
They're maligned.
Well, maybe
they're,
they did have some sort
they're
of...
They're seen as the hooligans of the weed world, and they're actually okay.
Yeah, but they actually produce a huge amount of pollen and nectar. So, and the important thing is that bumblebees are in hibernation. So the bumblebee colony dies off at the end of the summer, but the queen, mated queen bumblebees hibernate over winter.
Right.
So it's those queen bumblebees that emerge in spring, and they're hungry, desperately hungry. They need to make a loaf of pollen and a nectar pot to start a new colony. And so they have to visit 6,000 flowers a day just to do that.
Really?
Just to brood. They actually sit on their eggs, a bit like birds, and to brew that first batch of eggs, the worker 6,000. Bees. Yeah, so sometimes it's willow. Willow is a really important tree to plant in your garden. So willow and dandelions, they're the only things out there that are providing, like snowdrops, crocuses, there are other pollinator-friendly plants, but we'd actually appeal to people to kind of look at your lawns and say, can you leave a strip of dandelions? Or in summer, can you leave a strip of clover? Clover is amazing for bees.
So leave a strip if you'd probably prefer people not to go near their lawns at all?
No, not necessarily. I mean, obviously you need playing space for kids, for instance. But you could, like, how much of the space is your garden, or of your garden, are there your children actually using?
Yeah.
So you could actually do, a football pitch and still have strips around the edge. And we're encouraging the GAA and all these different recreational sites and parks to actually look at their site and say, where
and
could we have this?
What's the reaction like from bodies like that?
Really good. I mean, it is... You know, when you talk to ground staff, a lot of it's based on habit. They might be using herbicides, for instance, for years just to control and make things look neat. But when you question those habits, you know, sometimes those things are possible. And it is about doing something. Like, you might have a really neat garden, but why not plant some perennial pollinator-friendly plants?
I think it's interesting. I think people, when they read or listen, as they're listening now, about issues like this and about species dying out, and most people go, oh, that's we really should do something. That is terrible. And that's really sad. We have to, oh my goodness, we won't have vegetables and fruit and all of it. But taking the step, people are good at saying that, but then taking the next step and actually doing something about it, there's always seems to be a big gap.
Do you know what? This is really easy. That's what I love about, that's why I wanted to work on the pollinator plan, is that it is doable. It's not like reading all the depressing stories about tigers or rhinoceros. This is something you can do in your own garden. And we're working with farmers and councils, and we have guidelines on our website, pollinators.ie. All about what different sectors can do. Businesses, you can sign up as a business supporter of the pollinator plan, and you might have those strips around your site, or you might want to sponsor our guidelines that go out to schools.
So pollinators.ie.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see how that goes. I'm not sure now. Every time the Masters comes around and I see those beautiful greens, I just kind of go, yeah, I'm going to go out and cut. But as you've just heard, leave at least a strip. Juanita Brown from the All Ireland Pollinator Plan, thanks a million for coming in.